who are 55 and older, I'm curious. Some people don't always put their hands up that fast. But we do have an amazing thing also coming. It sounds like there's so many things happening, and there are. There always are. But we also have a great time. We call it Primetimers, and we have dinner together and fun. I mean, it's just a great time. If you are interested, that is Tuesday at 6. You would not want to miss it. How many of you think you know what happens after we... What is heaven like? Does anybody know? So my son, when he was younger, I was telling him I was going to talk about him today. When he was younger, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old. Who here is like 7 or 8? Anybody? Do we have any kids that age? Not in spirit, not in mind. Just, well, when my son was about that old, he just said to me one day out of the blue, and you know, it's funny when kids just say things, and they'll say something and there's all this theological meaning that it could mean, and sometimes it's just a kid being a kid. But he said, "Dad, I don't want to go to heaven." I'm like, what? Why not? And this is what he said. He goes, "Well, if all we're going to be doing is singing up there, I am so tired of hearing my sister sing all the time." Because his sisters would sing all the time. And they would sing, you know, of course, you know, Disney songs. They would sing whatever songs, you know, church songs, whatever. They would sing everywhere we went. And sometimes he'd be back there and you could see his little fingers in his ears because they would just sing constantly and he was tired of it. And then he hated watching musicals because he said, nobody does that. Nobody walks around and just sings and sings what they're talking about and sings things to each other. That never happens. And I said, well, your sisters do. But he did not care for that. And what's funny about it too is sometimes he would mock him like any good brother and he would sing just off key enough to drive him crazy. And they would say, "Dad, make him stop." What's funny about that is we knew he could sing because he had an ear enough to know to be that much off. You can't do that unless you can actually sing. I mean, he actually could sing, but he just didn't want to do that. So I asked him, I said, "Well, Theo, why do you think that's what heaven is? Because that's what everybody says. It just says we're going to stand around and sing." And so I said, "Well, okay." And I get why he said that. We get that, right? And we have all these weird images of heaven. And by weird, I mean like we get them from the Renaissance or paintings. And there's people sitting on a cloud and playing a harp or whatever. And here's something that we've been in this series. And this is the last point in the series that we've been doing on the 16 fundamental truths of the Assemblies of God. What these are is kind of core teachings. And this one is actually called the New Heavens and the New Earth. And it is exciting. And what it's talking about here is this. And here's a funny thing about the Bible. We know a lot about God, and we know a lot about a lot of things, but we don't know everything. And there's some things where we look at Scripture, and we try so hard to know what we want to know, but it doesn't always tell us everything we want to know. And some people really struggle with that. They feel like they should know everything. Are any of you like that? Like you need to know everything? Okay, I appreciate that honesty. So you're probably those people, like you get a new anything, car, whatever, and you read the book, right? Who does that? Yes, I knew you would. I knew the same people would raise their hands. You read the whole thing because you want to know everything about it. When you got a computer, did you do that? Yeah, okay. Well, those are cool, and I think it's awesome for you who do that, and there's a lot of people like that, and here's the thing about the Bible. God tells us what he wants us to know, but he doesn't tell us every detail. So a lot of what we know about heaven isn't actually in the Bible. It's something people have told us or kind of their mind or their imaginations. So when I was talking about Theo, I said, my mom is calling me. Let me, hold on. I'm just going to, sorry, Mom. Talk to you later. It was ringing on the tablet too. It was pretty funny. It's just distracting. Technology is awesome. So I asked Theo, "Well, if heaven was someplace you would want to go, what would that be like? What would you want heaven to be like?" And here's what he said. I thought it was cool. I mean, he's just a kid. He's talking as a kid, just from his heart. And he said, "Well, I think it'd be really neat to meet Jesus." Well, guess what, buddy? You get to do that there. That is it. And he goes, "And God?" Yeah. Okay. And then we talked enough about this. And then he said, he mentioned, he goes, "And I know there'll be people there who've already gone to heaven." I said, "Yes." I said, "What else?" He goes, "Well, I want to play." That's what he said. I want to play. I said, well, Theo, how do you know that's not some of what heaven will be like? He goes, well, that's not what they say. They just talk about singing. So I thought that was interesting. You know, heaven's mentioned in the Bible 276 times. But it doesn't always tell us everything. I mean, it mentions heaven as a destination. It mentions heaven as a good place, exciting place. And there's different terms that are used that we kind of equate with heaven. I'm not going to get into all the deep theological stuff about that. But I want you to know that it doesn't tell us everything. But what I do want to look at today, like we've done with every single one of these, is we're going to look at Scripture and see what it actually says. Now, there are some amazing stories, which to me are super fascinating, about people who may have had a near-death experience or even died and then brought back, and they have descriptions of heaven that sound amazing. And I'm not going to talk about those. And the only reason is because they're not in Scripture. All I'm going to do today is talk about what we know. Now, I don't discount somebody's experience necessarily, but what I want you to know is what we do know is enough. And it's super exciting at any age. I think there's something in here, just like Family Fifth, for every single person, if you just look at what it is. Because every time it's mentioned in Scripture, it's mentioned as the best possible thing. And if you don't like to sing, you probably will, though. And it won't be because you have to. It'll be because you want to. I think what it is as writers wrote about it, that's the only way they could express this exuberant joy and appreciation for having been there and got to be there. And it's going to bubble out of you no matter what. And whether it's on key or not, that's not even the point. I do like how in Psalm 150, it does say that we're supposed to make a joyful noise. You've probably heard that joke before, right? Because for some people, that's the best they can do is joyful noise. But when you're praising and it's from you to the Lord, that's good. He's not actually up there saying, oh, you're just a little off key. Have you ever one time had your kids tell you they love you and you told them, well, I don't like how you said that? That's not how that works. It's not how it works. But we are promised an amazing place in heaven. We're going to walk through some of these scriptures. In 2 Peter, it says this, but we are looking forward to the new heavens and a new earth that he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. John, in his revelation, in chapter 21, he says this, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. The sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and he will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these are gone forever. What did you get out of that? You speak it out. What did you see there? What did you hear? What stuck with you? No more pain. What else? No more what? No more worries. No more cares. What else? No more suffering. Thank you. What else? God is going to be right there with us. Actually, what my son said. That'd be kind of really cool to see Jesus. Yeah, right there with us. All those things are true. New heaven, new earth. God is a home with his people. I don't know if you picked this up. It's like a return to Eden. Remember the story of the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve were there with God. And even after they sinned, he was there with them. And it says in chapter 3, verse 8, he's in the garden and calling out to them. They used to walk with him in the garden. What they lost, we will regain. That's amazing. Then it's when you read Scripture, you have to understand they would describe things in the best possible way they could for the time they lived. The wall was made of jasper and the city as pure gold, as clear as glass. I can't even relate to that. I'm not really a sparkly, dabbly person. Even when I had a Harley, it was black, flat black. I mean, I would have been fine with it being flat black. But to some people, this is the most amazing thing. The precious jewels and the sparkle. The wall of the city was built on a foundation of stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth Something. The 11th, something else. And the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were made of pearls. Listen to this. Each gate from a single pearl. The main street was of pure gold and as clear as glass. That's beautiful. It's beauty. It's beauty beyond description. If you were going to describe something absolutely beautiful, I'm sure your description would be something that would just be amazing to you. And as I think about that, our minds cannot conceive the beauty. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Do you see this reoccurring theme? God is with us. The city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day because there's no night there. I know for us it's hard to relate to, but back in their day, you closed the city gates for safety because darkness held danger. And what he's saying here is this is totally different. God is the light of the city. You'll be in his presence, bathed in his light. I didn't hear anything about singing yet, but there is singing, let me just say. There is going to be singing because there's other verses that talk about us worshiping around the throne. And it talks about you being rewarded for what the things that you've done on this earth. And it talks about the people who are there just throwing their crowns at his feet because none of that will matter. The fact is you will be in his presence and that is enough. Not only will it light the city, but the idea that you will be around him is amazing. And God will dwell with man just like he did in the garden. I look at heaven as the complete reversal of the curse. What are you going to do in heaven? I think you're going to do a lot of things. I think one of the things is you're going to enjoy God's home. Jesus on the cross, what did he say to the thief? He said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Notice what he didn't say. Well, let's look at what he did say. Do you know what paradise is? Well, I know we all have our own idea of paradise. For some of you, it may be on a ski slope or on a lake fishing or in a hammock. I don't know. You know what paradise was? I mean, it's interesting. He uses a specific words. It literally means a park. A park. Like Eden. Do you get it? We're going back to Eden. It would have been a beautiful place, a place to hang out. Parks and gardens all over the world have always been a place of beauty and relaxation and comfort and quiet. No ants. No yellow jackets. But it would be this beautiful place where you can enjoy every single thing. Have you done that before? Have you been to a place where you walk out there and it's just relaxing and you can just sit and feel the cool breeze and maybe you're near a lake? I mean, I think sometimes I'll go to Jacomo up on that park, on that hill, and you can just sit in the grass and look, and I just think of heaven. He invited the repentant thief to join him there, a place of relaxation. You know what else is going to be in heaven? You are going to be given an account of everything you've done here on earth. It's not a judgment like for sin and death, but it's of life. Everything you did, and you will be rewarded for those things. Of course, we don't do them for reward, because if you do, that's the reward. It's kind of a catch-22. But you'll still be rewarded, and that'll be an amazing thing. You know what else we're going to do in heaven? I really believe this. I think we're going to continue to learn and grow. I know she's going to be embarrassed by this, but I bumped into Mary, who just turned 99. She was disappointed there was no Sunday school. You know why? At 99, she is still learning and growing in her faith. And I look at each and every one of us, and while we are there in heaven, and there will be no time, we will learn and grow forever. Because that's how deep and wide and breadth, and that's how God is, that you can never learn enough. Think about who he is. I mean, in Colossians it says, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You will never, ever get to the end of learning. God is infinite. In Isaiah, he's called the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity. How long do you think it'll take for you to explore the hidden things of God? I don't know that you could even put a time on it, even if time was a thing there. He's bigger and deeper and more forever than you could ever imagine. Do you ever wonder, at what point are you going to grasp, as it says in Ephesians, how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ? And then know that the love that surpasses knowledge. In Ephesians again, it says, May you have the power to understand all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand, then you will be made complete with all fullness and life and power that comes from God. You're going to continue to plumb the depths of his glory for all eternity. You'll never stop learning. In Romans, it says his ways are unsearchable, unknowable. How great are God's riches and his wisdom and knowledge? How impossible is it for us to understand his decisions? And I do believe the scriptures are clear. You're going to fellowship with other believers, whether those are family members who've gone on before. Can you imagine what that'll be like? You'll be talking to maybe a grandparent or an uncle or somebody that you didn't even know, and you'll be learning things about even your family here on earth. Think about all the people you're going to run to. I heard this years ago. It was actually a guy doing ministry, and he was talking about how our giving, he did kids ministry. And he said this, and the first time I heard him say it, I thought, I'll be honest, it sounded a little manipulative. Then the more I thought about it, I thought, you know what, that is true. Because we're giving to this guy's ministry, and he works with kids who we'll never see or know, and they're coming to Christ, and at some point in heaven, I do think people who you've never seen or known will come thank you because of your investment that led them to Christ and changed their lives forever. And it was a little thing to you, and you'll be like, oh, I wish I could have done more. Revelation 7:9 says, a great multitude that no one can count will be there. From every ethnicity, every creed, all over the earth, for all time will be there. And we'll be sharing eternity with all these friends and family and heroes of old. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of Bible characters I want to talk to. I want to meet them. I want to see what it was like. And I don't know if it'll be possible, maybe, but wouldn't it be amazing to just sit there and watch like a reel or a movie of what it was? To see David and Goliath actually there in the Elim Valley and watch him pick up the stones and see how it went down. And then to talk to him about it. What were you thinking in that moment? Because we've preached and heard a million stories on it and sermons, right? What were you thinking? Why five stones? Was it for Goliath's brothers? Or was it just in case you missed the first one or needed to? Or what? I can't wait. What was it like for Moses to walk across the Dead Sea on dry ground and every single one of those Israelites? And then later when Joshua did the same thing on the Jordan River. There's so many things. I can't wait to hear it. The spirits of the righteous will be made perfect, it says in Hebrews. You all have come to this assembly as God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge of all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who've now been made perfect. We're going to be there with millions, multitudes of other believers to meet and know and get to know. You know, the Bible just, it provides this little glimpse of what it's going to be like. But here's how it's described in Corinthians. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. As much as you can imagine, it's more. I don't know, I think about that, and trying to explain that to a 7-year-old is kind of hard. Because all he wants to do is run and play. I think that's going to happen there. But one of the coolest things is described in Scripture and mentioned a number of times. And I think it's really hard for us as modern day Americans to relate to this. But it says that we're going to celebrate the wedding supper of the Lamb. Even now I'm overwhelmed just thinking about it. It describes the future marriage supper of the Lamb of this time of great joy and celebration. And Revelation says, the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words that come from God. Isaiah described it as feasting. Other passages, Jesus talks about it, feasting or eating in eternity. In Matthew, he says this, that many of the Gentiles will come from all over the world, east and west, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of God. That had to blow those Jews' minds because they thought it was just them. Have you heard that joke? No offense to anybody, but have you heard that joke? Like you get to heaven and you're getting guided through and there's this room and you can hear things going on and they say, yeah, we've got to be quiet as we walk down this hallway because I'm just going to use Baptists because the Baptists are in there and they think they're the only ones here. Sorry. I don't know if you can fully understand this, because I can't. And I don't know any of us can. In Luke, Jesus said this, you're going to eat and drink at my table in the kingdom. You will sit on thrones. He's talking to the disciples at this point. They're going to judge the tribes. Do you realize what this marriage feast is? I don't know if we can really fully understand it because we're not Jews and we didn't live 2,000 years ago, but a marriage feast there was different than ours. For here, you know, we'll do a wedding here and then maybe the couple will go take pictures or something and then we'll send everybody into the gym for a reception and you might have to wait, you might get cake and punch. You know, if the people are really generous, you might get a meal, right? But maybe not. And what are you in there a couple hours and you go home? And then the parents have to pay for it and clean up? This is not the same. We are not the same. This picture that he's describing here is not like that. It's hard to understand, but this is the wedding supper of the Lamb to the church. This is the culmination of God's plan from eternity. Where it started with Adam and Eve, he created the world perfect. He wanted relationship with humans. He set them in the garden. They sinned and rejected that relationship, that depth of relationship that he wanted with them. And when they rejected that, that's passed on to us. And so from that time till Jesus, the plan was to restore that relationship. So he sent them prophets. He sent them kings. He sent them judges. None of that was enough. And he sent his son, the very representation of God himself in the flesh on this earth to pay the price for our sin, to reunite us in relationship with God. And then during this time period for 2,000 years, we have been living here, collecting more people into this relationship. And this supper is going to be the culmination of all of that. It is the climax of all of history, and it's a meal that we will celebrate together. And their feasts went on usually at least for a week. Sometimes longer. The idea is this long feast with all the body of Christ and the Lamb. Jesus will be there. And he will be celebrating with all of us the reunion of our souls with his and them, and we will be there together. I want you to shut your eyes for a second. I don't know what heaven, what you thought it was going to be like. And we still don't know all the details. But we know some things. We know it'll be beautiful. We know it'll be a beautiful place. We know there will be worship of God because you can't help it. When you get there, just like me, you're going to be so excited you made it and you were there that you won't even think about what comes out of your mouth. You will worship probably with the fullest voice you've ever done with no hesitation because you are so excited to be there. It's going to be the presence of God all the time. It is the complete reversal of Eden. You will live with him forever. Now, maybe there's somebody here and you have never heard it put that way, and you know that you wouldn't be going there, but you want to. You can take care of that today. It's not very hard. It comes down to this. If you know you're not with him and you want to be with him, all you have to do is take care of the thing that separates you, and that is your sin. And God made a way for that. He sent his son to pay the price for you. So all you have to do is tell him you're sorry for that, accept his son's forgiveness, and you're included. And you will be in that supper with all of us. And that's what we want. If that's you and you want that today and you don't have that, you know you don't, just raise your hand real quick. We'll pray with you. We'll take care of that now. Anybody at all, you want that. You don't have it, but you want it. Anybody at all? All right. Well, I'm hoping that means everybody's going. We're all going there. Gabe, stand up with me. Let's celebrate. Can we celebrate? We're all headed there. Yeah. Yeah, celebrate. Come on, let's stand up. Let's thank him. God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for who you are. Can we pray together? I want to send you out in celebration. Make sure if you don't know Connor and Claire, they've been volunteering in the coffee shop and they're around. They're right over there. It'd be nice if they could get out in the lobby before you do this. And then for Pastor Nick, if you could just congratulate him, celebrate him, hug him, if you're comfortable with that, pat him on the back. But I want you to celebrate heaven all day, all weekend. I know it's Labor Day weekend, but you can just make it heaven weekend. Just celebrate the fact we're all going there together. God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that you created us for relationship. I am so grateful that you care and know about each one of us. Each one of our individual lives, our failures, our successes, our struggles, and that you've accepted us into your family. And because of that, someday soon, we will get to celebrate the wedding supper of the Lamb with you and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ for all eternity. God, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, I pray for each of these as they leave this place today that, thank you that their place in heaven is sure and that they know that and that they're excited about it. And I pray you would bless us as we celebrate you today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Celebrate with each other.